Welcome to another podcast by Air Insight.
Today is October 29th, 2019. This is Addison Schoenland from Air Insight. And my guests today are Michelle Morozo, who is Director of Market Analysis at AIR, and Ernie Arvai, who is President of Air Insight Group. And the purpose of our conversation today is to discuss the testimony on the Hill by Dennis Muhlenberg from Boeing. So, gentlemen, you both were watching C-SPAN. What is your takeaway? How did he do? Ernie.
Edison, I think Dennis did about as expected, which the expectations weren't very high, so I think it was a poor showing as expected.
Michelle?
I think he did okay. I sort of want to second what Ernie just said. I think the expectations were not very high, but overall, I think he provided some very truthful answers to some of the more pointed and relevant questions from a few senators. As a whole, I think it is clear that Dennis Muhlenberg is still in a kind of a damage control, very carefully chosen words about some of the processes and technical issues associated with the MAX tragedies. But overall, I think him and John Hamilton did a okay job. And I'm sure that judging by their expressions and some of the comments, there is a lot more that they wanted to say. But in such an environment, with such a politically charged behavior on the part of some senators, I think their control was absolutely necessary.
I would tend to agree. This was a no-win situation for Dennis going in, where you've got there were three or four politicians and that we can identify from that were grandstanding, and that's never a good situation when someone is trying to purposely make you look bad and make themselves look good in the process. So the expectations were not very high coming in, and I think those expectations were met. It's a tough situation and a no-win situation for Dennis.
That's interesting because if we know that these things are pretty staged, you know, his comments were released the night before, so everybody was prepped. He was prepped as best as he could be for the questions, and knowing that next year is another election year, so therefore grandstanding is the order of the day. Were there any comments or questions or statements from the politicians that were shocks, that were relevant or irrelevant?
Well, I found that there were a few senators, especially Blumenthal and Cantwell, that just were clearly on a different agenda today than the agenda at hand, which was to improve the safety of the MAX and the processes. And that those are very charged and clearly political, and that's their prerogative. How they choose to use their time is their prerogative, obviously, but I don't think they added much to the conversation. On the other hand, I think that Senator Fisher was particularly relevant in some of this questioning about Boeing and the FAA communications, and it really is at the core of the issue here, is how do you improve, how do you work better communications and better process between industry and the FAA? And those type of questions today were really, I think, adding value. And I wish we had some more of that. Senator Sullivan of Alaska was kind of throwing some softballs at Dennis Muhlenberg. But again, you raised a very valid point about the certification process. And I wish we had more debate around this issue and less about, you know, how could you and how dare you kind of stuff.
Exactly, and I think the other relevant issues that came about that were brought up. I think the fact that Brazil had installed MAX tracks into their training manuals, and this was not not known by Muhlenberg or John Hamilton, was incredulous. And I think Ted Cruz made some points when he was basically questioning the what did you know and when did you know it kind of line of questioning to Muhlenberg, who really didn't have good answers as to why it took Boeing so long to get some of these documents to the FAA. So I think there were some good points made by a couple of congressmen there. But the Brazil one was, I think, particularly telling, and that's one I think that we need to react to.
What about the reauthorization of the FAA last year, and how we see in this week that Boeing's lobbyists got the rules changed? Did that come up at all? That any of the politicians today, did they agree to that?
Let me jump in on the point that Ernie just raised, because I think it's a very important one. And you know, those messages, again, we cannot look at them, the Faulkner messages, as you know, we'll call it, cannot look at them in silo. Okay, politicians tend to want to look at those things in silo, because at face value, these are incredibly damning, potentially at face value, but there's a lot more behind those, okay? And I think Cruz brought those up, and I think at face value, the way he presented it, yes, it could be interpreted as very damning, but we don't have the full story behind the exchange, and we don't have the fact associated with what was the fidelity, what was the level of fidelity of the simulator at the time. You know, Boeing needs to come out with more information about that. I think they have done so far, said that this was a work in progress. So, you know, the media and politicians, they really like this kind of statements. You know, they want their smoking gun. They want the third shooter on the grassy knoll, if you see what I mean. But it's not, I think, relevant to moving forward. You know, this is something that has happened. And I wish we had, again, more focused on to fix a problem that is showing how much the FAA lags behind in terms of its level of competences and how fast the technology works. And so they have to rely on industry to provide those level of competences.
Well, surely the politicians realize that the reason the FAA does not have the tools at its disposal is the fact that it's not funded very well, and it doesn't have the chance to invest in those kind of resources. Does EASA or the JAA, do any of the other agencies around the world that do the certification lack resources the same way?
I think the lack of resources is a very valid point. You know, how can you expect the government, and Ernie will probably jump on this, how can you expect the government to retain the best talent on the market with a 3.5% unemployment rate and with salary levels that are pathetic in comparison to what industry is prepared to pay? I think that's at the core of the debate. If we're going to maintain technology and certification excellence in the United States, we need to improve the conditions of people working for those agencies, period.
And they're constrained within the civil service system and constrained within the bureaucracy of Washington, which is a particular problem. The ODA process probably unfairly criticized. It's certainly out of balance, but it became out of balance because of congressional actions that happened back in 2014, when that reauthorization bill basically transferred the lines of communication from the FAA directly to each ODA holder, to each OA, DA rather, and didn't and forced them to report through the company management structure. So the Boeing guys who used to report to the FAA up through 2014 are no longer report directly to the FAA, but they report through Boeing managers. So messages don't get through as clearly, and questions don't get addressed if someone disagrees at the same level they once were. Those debates need to happen, and they haven't been happening. But that's Congress's fault, not the fault of Boeing or the industry. That probably needs to change.
It does need to change, and I think Boeing should step back and say, you know what, Boeing needs to realize also their limitation as to what they want to see as their level of competency or participation. That's when I think they get themselves exposed to those type of situations. They should step back and say, okay, you need to do this job. There are market pressures, you know, and there are competitive pressures. And I think Dennis said that very, very clearly. The environment has changed tremendously over the past 20 years. And that is kind of like the variable that nobody, especially not on the Hill, needs to think about, is how do you adjust the regulatory process, the certification process, for everybody based on these new realities, these new market realities.
Okay, last question. Now that we got that, the question, I guess, for us to offer listeners here is, what's next? How do you proceed from here? Is there a path that you can see? Is there something that comes out of this? I mean, you're hinting at it already about the way things need to change. But is there a path that either of you think makes sense looking forward?
I think the path that makes sense moving forward is a strengthening of the process. And if the FAA needs ODAs, and perhaps there could be a way that they could take some expertise out of some of the other military contractors, since we only have one civil contractor. But there are some qualified engineers at Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman, and some folks who may have recently retired and could address specific issues. I think having a larger team of expertise for the FAA is certainly one option that could be cost effective. If you're playing through the industry and with the industry rather than against it adversarially and coming up with a new structure. Someone designed a system based on one sensor in an era when redundant systems is really the world standard in aviation. How a one sensor system ever got into place is the question that people should be asking. And how can we prevent that from ever happening again? And that's the area of the mismatch in the ODA responsibility from Boeing. Boeing management succumbing to financial pressures and time pressures versus doing the job right. And I think that's at the crux of the argument. So we do need to separate the ODA holder and establish more lines of communications and stronger reviews with the FAA itself.
I think Ernie brings two very valid points. There is a need for an honest broker in the certification process. I'm not saying, it's not a reflection of the parties currently involved, not at all. What I'm saying, what I'm suggesting is that we have to find a way in this industry, in this very competitive environment, to bring in a third party that can bring the level of competences that the FAA currently has trouble, retaining, and can also take away some of the role that currently Boeing or Airbus or others are doing internally. So that way, it provides potentially the level of independence that I think is one of the topic that was center stage today. The other element that I think I concur with Ernie is that 737 is a pretty unique animal, the single sensor point of failure and so on. And I'm just wondering, is this a unique case that is brought forward through this tragedy is because of the origins and the configuration, the architecture, avionics architecture of the 737. Is this a one-off? Those are questions that to me need to be looked at, because I think fundamentally the next Boeing aircraft, and we've seen this with 787 and others, will rely a lot more on automation and what I call up-to-date automation. What you have on the 737 is kind of showing the limitation of what the avionic architecture of this aircraft can do. Final point, where do we go from here? Well, there are many lines of there are many avenues that are going to, you know, unfold, and I think you look at the MAX RTS probably by December, and airlines will start flying them again, probably Q1, Q2. For Dennis Muilenburg, he did what was expected from him. So did John Hamilton. I don't think that after this, Dennis Muilenburg comes out worse. Okay, he is, I think, you know, realizing that there is a need for, you know, an observation, looking internally at, you know, the way things are happening within the company, and I think they're already, you know, the safety committee, they're already doing all these things that hopefully will generate some positive. Even if there is one thing that comes out of that safety committee and that process of, you know, internal process, then it's good. You know, they can move forward and be a safer aircraft company in the future. But as far as the politicians today, I think we said enough about it.
Thanks so much, guys.
This recording is copyrighted by Air Insight.